welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. Today, I am so excited to have Winnie Ling with Blend joining us today. Winnie has served as general counsel and the head of legal since February of 2023 and has been the head of people since January of 2024. Winnie previously led Blend's corporate securities and mergers and acquisitions legal functions. Prior to joining Blend, Winnie was a corporate attorney where she advised financial institutions, technology companies, and other clients on a wide range of capital markets, financing, mergers and acquisitions, and other strategic matters. Winnie was a corporate attorney focusing on corporate finance transactions for investment banks and corporate clients. So welcome, Winnie. Why don't you start by introducing yourself and just describe your role at Blend for us?
Hi, Laura. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I'm really thrilled to be here. As Laura mentioned, I'm Winnie Ling, and I get to lead both the legal and people teams here at Blend. So my role involves helping Blend and our customers unlock business value while navigating challenging regulatory environments and also managing risks in a thoughtful way. What I'm equally passionate about is building an inclusive and high-performing culture across our company where everyone can thrive. We're currently a bit over 500 global employees and growing, so it's certainly a really exciting time to be here. Beyond my professional life, and the accent might have given it away, but I'm originally from Sydney, Australia. I currently live in New York City with my husband, Rad.
Oh, wow. You've been all over the world. That's so cool. Yeah. Yes. And for our listeners who may not know what Blend does, can you share some of the background on the company?
Yes, totally. I'd love to share a bit about Blend's mission and the impact that we've had. So Blend was founded in 2012, and it really was born out of a belief that data and not documents should be what's powering the future of banking. Our CEO and our co-founder, Nima Gamsari, realized really early on that actually all consumers want their banking experiences to be super simple and seamless, just like other online experiences. So whether that's ordering something on Amazon or watching a movie on Netflix, it really should just take a few taps. Unfortunately, even today, the banking infrastructure we have is still pretty dated and pretty siloed. And what it means is a lot of financial institutions are operating on old, inflexible legacy systems that make creating modern banking experiences for consumers really quite costly for the institution. And there's a high degree of friction as well for consumers. So that's a huge part, because of course, like the banking space is very regulated, so there are guardrails we need to stay within when we're innovating. And so innovating can be pretty complex and expensive to do. And so that's why Blend exists. We're here to change that. We're tackling that problem head on. We've spent the last 12 years partnering with banks, credit unions, mortgage originators, and other financial institutions of all sizes to deliver highly digital and really streamlined experiences for their customers. So today, we're really proud to have built an industry-leading digital origination platform that can really streamline from end to end any journey, like from application to close for any banking product. So whether that's a deposit account, credit card, consumer loan, and of course, mortgages, which includes our digital close option, which I know is what we're going to dive a bit more deeply into today. So through this technology, we're able to empower financial institutions to accelerate innovation and build more efficient automated workflows. And these solutions truly are beneficial for both the bank staff and the consumers because we can help with reducing costs while delivering really much faster, simpler digital experiences that help our customers win in the marketplace. And the beauty is we do this all on a single platform, which just eliminates a lot of the complexity and the silos that I mentioned earlier. So some fun facts that hopefully help give a sense of Blend's impact. We process over $1 trillion in loans through our platform annually. And today we partner with over 150 community banks and credit unions, including 7 of the top 10 credit unions in the nation based on customer accounts. So we've really got quite an incredible customer base and we're, you know, obsessed about keeping our customers happy.
Yeah, that is so cool. And, you know, I just love the idea of this because when I started in banking back like 13 years ago, so much time went into trying to figure out a closing date and printing documents, and then it didn't work out. And then you'd have to go back and fix them and reprint or mail out closings. And then I think with COVID, like a lot of this has kind of also started to become, you know, a lot more, it kind of opened the floodgates to like alternative types of closing methods. But before we dive into today's topic, can you talk a little bit about the different types of modern notarizations that exist and how they're tied to what you do?
Yeah, sure. I think it's, you know, we should have an understanding of the landscape that we're operating in, right? So let's start with the different types of modern notarizations, all of which I'd say leverage technology to some degree, but of course, they're not all created equal. And I think the process that financial institutions use can just depend on their specific needs. So breaking these down a bit, and there's some acronyms out there, some terms of art as well. So firstly, we've got the IPEN. So this is the in-person electronic notarization. It's still somewhat old school in terms of people being in the same room together, but you know, we swap out paper for electronic documents. So this method tends to work really well for industries and transactions that do require more of a personal touch. So, you know, estate planning or high value real estate deals where just parties prefer to have some level of in-person interaction, but they want the efficiency and the accuracy of digital documentation. So that's the IPEN. Next, we've got RIN. So that's our remote ink signed notarization. This is a little bit of a hybrid. The signer and the notary are connected via video, but the signer still signs physical documents and ends up mailing them to the notary for a final stamp. So RIN works really well for situations where digital signatures just aren't an option. So there are some legal contracts in jurisdictions that still require physical ink signatures. But, you know, obviously parties want to be able to leverage remote convenience. So this is a great hybrid method that, you know, threads the needle between these requirements. Next, we've got RON. So this is our remote online notarization. I'd say this is definitely the most tech forward option. So everything, signing, notarizing, that's all done digitally through a secure online platform. And so the signer and the notary can be miles apart. And RON is really effective and ideal for high volume transactions like mortgage closings, which is what we do a lot of at Blend. And RON really offers this unmatched convenience and efficiency for parties to spread across just different regions or even countries. True story, I've seen like members of our executive team, you know, just squeeze in a RON closing between a busy meeting schedule. And that's the beauty of it. You can really do this anywhere. It's quick, it's effective, it's very accurate. And so, you know, here at Blend, we're all about making the process of buying a home and really any kind of consumer banking transaction just simpler and faster, more affordable. And so we're firm believers that RON closings are the way forward. It's the superior method. But that being said, as I mentioned up top, there are just different needs that get fulfilled by all these different methods. So we do still offer different types of closings, whether it be traditional to hybrid to fully remote. Just financial institutions, what we've seen is they're at different stages of their transformation journey. So I'm sure RON is where we're heading as an industry as a whole. But obviously, you know, there are stepping stones to getting to that point.
Yeah. And do you see that some banks maybe like start off with like the hybrid option, or maybe they're a little bit nervous, but they're excited, like they want to see how it works, but they're not totally ready to go straight for a RON closing. And maybe they start out with a hybrid and then kind of get used to it and feel more comfortable with the technology and then like move on to, you know, the full on RONs, I'm guessing. I guess, could you share a few, I guess, use cases for examples of the benefits of the RON for our listeners who may be interested in adopting this type of technology and what that would look like?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. Like it's, you know, I think taking a phased approach can often make sense. There are so many benefits actually, both for the borrower as well as the internal banker teams. I'd say it's actually a real game changer in terms of the convenience and the speed, accuracy, and the compliance elements here, which I think hopefully all of our listeners would appreciate. That's no easy feat. And so with all of that, I think that's definitely the way to go. I think there sometimes is a bit of a reluctance, and I'd love to help debunk some of these myths. But firstly, on the benefits, right? I think as consumers, nobody really likes doing endless amounts of paperwork. And so firstly, with digital RON closings, customers can really sign documents from literally anywhere that they have an internet connection. And so whether that's the initial documentation and signing or some quick follow-ups, we also just are able to offer really top-notch customer service. And so I think not only is it more convenient, customers actually just feel really supported throughout the entire process, which I think is real plus. Secondly, you know, because the process is fully digital, it is just incredibly fast and efficient. You don't have to wait for documents to be scanned or indexed. Everything just flows seamlessly through the system. And, you know, I think from the standpoint of correcting any errors like missing stamps or signatures, it just can be corrected in a matter of hours instead of days. And so that just keeps the overall home ownership journey much smoother. We actually did recently publish a case study that's a great example of this. So, you know, we like, and actually really just reiterates to us as well, just how strong of a return on investment this is for our customers. So one of our regional bank customers adopted Blend Close, and what they found was they drastically reduced their closing times, and some of their fully virtual closings were completed in as little as 20 minutes, which is amazing. And so that's compared to more than an hour, I would say, for most traditional paper-based closings. And so we're seeing this across most of our fully digital closing as well. It's not unique to this one customer, but we did kind of publish a specific case study on this. They also reported really significant improvements just in their own customer satisfaction scores because of how convenient the whole process is. Borrowers, actually a great use case would be those who are in the military and deployed overseas, right? Or individuals who have spouses abroad, RONs really are just a game changer. And so this is also a way to just boost borrower satisfaction for our bank customers. On the banker side of things, our eClose solution, we've found it just also delivers a ton of ROI in terms of loans that are closed, because the loans close on average 2 days faster. And so that's a 9 to 11 day cut from the overall cycle time. That is actually quite dramatic if you pause to think about it. So borrowers move much more efficiently throughout the process with a 79% conversion rate from start to application completion, and up to 10% just better pull through compared to leading competitors. So again, that's really a competitive differentiator. It's sort of, you know, I think to your question earlier about taking a phased approach, like I do think more and more RON is not only a nice to have, it really can be a competitive advantage for banks. And so our tailored application experience helps ensure also really high quality loan files and just automated follow-ups. So that helps borrowers stay on track to complete the application, which I think explains this improved conversion rate, the better pull-through rate, and all of that. I touched a little bit about the errors, but I think, you know, given like the audience for this podcast, I do think it's important to chat a little bit about how RON can actually dramatically reduce errors. And you have just clear, complete signatures and dates are just standard, and notary mistakes, like missing stamps or dates, are just super rare. When they do happen, as I mentioned earlier, you can correct those really quickly. So there's just no substantial delay for banks or their customers. So on that note, one of our customers, who actually also happens to be one of the largest mortgage services in the nation, they implemented our RON technology this year for their mortgage loans, and they reported a 0% error rate on their RON closings. Whereas prior to adopting us, they hovered between 10 to 20%. So for the non-RON closings.
That is huge.
It is huge. It is huge. And like, it's, you know, from a compliance standpoint, because every closing is recorded, financial institutions also have a really clear record of like what had what actually happened if you're ever in a situation where you have to resolve disputes or investigate a fraud. And so there's just, you know, like there's really a lot of advantages to this, not having to track or store physical documents, right? That's also just beautiful and really, I think, ties back to what I mentioned up top around Blend's mission. We want to transform this paper-heavy, paper-based industry into one that is seamless and paperless. And I think Ron is a great example of how, you know, how the industry can evolve and how thoughtful use of technology can help drive that outcome.
That is amazing. I'm still like stuck on the 0% error rate because that's like unheard of. That is so cool. Wow. So I guess, can you help me understand like where is the financial service industry at today? You know, like in terms of adopting Ron, like this fully digital method, you know, it sounds compelling. So are you seeing, you know, this broader adoption of it?
Yes, certainly that's the trend. There is broader and broader adoption. But I am actually like still a bit surprised sometimes when I hear a little bit of the resistance to this. And so I, you know, given all the very clear advantages and also the legislative landscape is becoming more and more supportive of adopting RONs. I mean, you might be surprised just as I am that it's not more broadly adopted and that it's not really the default option just yet for a lot of lenders. And I do think, as I mentioned earlier, there are some myths that are probably worth debunking. There's, you know, one misconception just around regulatory barriers, frankly. So I think a lot of the time lenders find it helpful when we help them get up to speed to where we are as an industry in terms of regulation. A lot, I think, are under the misconception, frankly, that a lot of regulations still prevent fully digital closings in a lot of states. So it's true, the regulations in this area can be really complex. This perception is actually a bit outdated because as of right now, actually, if you take a look at summaries from the MBA as an example, you'll see 44 states plus the District of Columbia have actually already passed laws enabling RON for real estate financial transactions. And so this is a clear signal that there's going to be significantly more progress to come. And, you know, the trend is definitely towards broader digital adoption. We expect to see this in the remaining states as well. The second, I think, main misconception is I think a lot of lenders think that there is still a consumer preference for paper-based closings, you know, getting together to do that traditional paper-based closing. But I do think that's rapidly shifting, right? I think most of us are familiar with just how lovely it is to be able to do a lot of things like straight from our phones, straight from our computers, the convenience of that. And so, you know, I think that's another area where there's a clear shift away from just paper-based methods. One of our customers actually implemented digital closings as their preferred and their default method because they've recognized like it is really mutually beneficial both for the bank as well as the customers. And the results were really overwhelmingly positive for them. They found more than 98% of their applications are submitted digitally via Blend. So to take a step back, so that means the borrower, you know, when we've got the default method, they can actually choose to use a different method. But what we're seeing is when given the choice, more than 98% of the applications get submitted digitally. And so customers have clearly just been embracing this digital closing process. And so for those who are unable, unwilling to close digitally, there's still the traditional wet signed closings that are available. But more and more, we're seeing that to be the exception rather than the rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's kind of hard for a lot of small community banks to get a grasp on because they just love being that customer focused bank and, you know, doing things in person. And a lot of people do appreciate that. However, that's not off the table, you know, like you were saying, you can still offer that as an option. But I mean, nobody can deny the, you know, the convenience of, you know, just being able to do something from your own home. Right.
Yeah.
So what are you seeing, I guess, from like the legislative and compliance requirements? Like, what do those look like for a bank that wants to adopt RON technology?
Yeah, there's definitely a few things to consider. And again, I think a strong technology partner can help banks navigate these challenges. So first and foremost, so RON platform providers, so in our example, Blend Signing Room, we're required to comply with standards that are set by the individual states to ensure that the entire process remains very secure and legally valid. That's obviously top of mind for everyone. And so if applicable, that means the RON platform has to go through the state approval process to ensure the platform, you know, gets the seal of approval, meets all the regulatory requirements so that the banks, as well as the consumers, can feel really confident in the integrity of the overall notarization process. Given what we're dealing with, obviously maintaining security is one of the most critical compliance requirements. And so, you know, from a security standpoint, I think there's two core elements to this. And so firstly, there's the IDV. And then secondly, there's our KVA. And so IDV stands for Identity Document Verification. It's the process where notaries use methods to verify the identity of the signer before actually proceeding with a notarization. So the IDV technology essentially ensures that the signer submits photos of a credential that they actually have in their possession. So it can't just be a picture of a photo or a copy of the credential. There are actually mechanisms to ensure, you know, the signer actually has the ID in their possession. And so if the signer doesn't pass the IDV process, then the notary actually can't move forward with the notarization. So this is one key security element before any notarial act can actually take place. I also mentioned KVA. So KVA stands for knowledge-based authentication. So that's the process where a signer answers a series of multiple choice questions based on their personal data from public or private sources. So this is used to verify that they really are them. It helps, again, another layer of identity verification before we actually proceed with a notarization. So to comply with state requirements, our Blend Signing Room requires each signer to answer 5 multiple choice questions containing information drawn from different sources. And in order to actually pass this test and proceed with notarization, a signer has to answer at least 80%. So that's 4 out of the 5 questions within 2 minutes. So it's the combination of just really knowing the answers, but also like the time limit that's imposed that, you know, we feel really secure about what we're offering. Another actually very interesting element is accessibility. Because accessibility, you know, for a RON provider is another thing we need to comply with. And we're very committed to that at Blend Signing Room. We think it's essential that RON is available to everyone, including with any individuals with special needs and disabilities. And so that's why we prioritize, there are accessibility standards that are set by the Federal Communications Commission. So we prioritize ensuring our RON platform is as inclusive as possible. And so we've got features such as live captioning. So that helps support individuals who may be deaf or hard of hearing. We provide live captioning during the notarial process to make it easier for users to follow along in real time. We also offer third-party witness capabilities. So we integrate third-party witness options. So that helps ensure participants who may be in need of who need assistance identifying a witness to facilitate the process, we can help with that. And so not only is this all of this really better for efficiency and good for business, but it actually really does help us do our piece to democratize access to consumer finance.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, one of the things that I thought about when you were talking was like, you know, deep fakes and how those are kind of like becoming such a thing these days. And so I love to hear of all the processes that you have in place to make sure that, you know, the person really is who they say they are, especially on the other side of a screen. So looking ahead, I guess, what should bank leaders anticipate from a legislative and compliance standpoint?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I expect more and more states to embrace RON. We see a ton of changes on the horizon, both in terms of legislation and compliance. And so for bank leaders, I think it's really critical to stay ahead of the evolving state laws, the potential federal considerations, as well as like what you mentioned, this growing emphasis on security. We can expect continuous updates to state-specific legislation regarding the use of RON, so more states are likely to continue to adopt or amend and fine-tune their laws to expand or regulate the use of like RON practices. And so this might include things like eligibility, security requirements, as we mentioned, and then video and audio verification standards. For instance, California is a really great example of how states are evolving over time. So California became the 44th state to pass legislation regarding RON. And the state is expected to fully adopt RON by 2030. But in the meantime, there is implementation happening already in a phased approach in the coming years. Currently, what this means is California notaries aren't yet authorized to perform online notarizations. But a notary from another state where RON is already permitted, they're allowed to perform a remote notarization for a signer in California. So that's what we call an out-of-state notary. And that's something Blend Signing Room is able to facilitate with California RONs. And so that I give this example because I do think it's not like an all or nothing, right? There is a transition period, but the clear trend is to embrace and adopt RON more broadly going forward. I mentioned the federal considerations potentially. So that's because while RON is currently regulated at the state level, we're definitely keeping our eye out for potential federal legislation or guidance in this space. So in February of last year, 2023, there was a Secure Notarization Act that was introduced in Congress. So the full name of it is Securing and Enabling Commerce Using Remote and Electronic Notarization. So this is the Secure Notarization Act. So as of now, this act has passed the U.S. House of Representatives and it's under consideration in the Senate. If it is enacted, it could standardize RON practices across the country, which will have an impact on how financial institutions conduct notarizations, especially when you think about just interstate transactions. And so definitely a ton of progress. We're seeing more and more of our lenders use RON closings. I think as of right now, around 96% of our loan volume is in states where RON is possible, either through a notary from that state or what I mentioned, out-of-state notary, so a RON notary from another state. So that's, I think, very telling of what's to come. And actually just super exciting for the industry.
Yeah, and I didn't know that piece that you could just use a notary from another state when you do live in a state that's still working on some of those requirements. So that was a nice little nugget. Thank you for that. So for banks that wanted to implement RON, I guess what advice would you have for them or what steps should they take to accelerate their implementation of RON?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think practically speaking, there are a few things that can make the transition and the adoption a much less daunting task because, you know, it's lots of benefits, but also lots of complexities like we discussed. And so choosing the right platform and a platform that can really help ensure compliance with all the necessary regulations, that's going to be deeply valuable. And so partnering with the right RON provider will make the process much smoother, much faster. So that's clearly kind of a priority number one. And then I'd also say, you know, we talked about the different methods that are offered. I think for a bank to have a deep understanding of what its needs are in terms of what it wants out of the RON platform, right? I think there are different specific features, functionalities, and security standards like state regulations. We talked about IDV capabilities, the ease of use for clients and notaries. So I think fine-tuning the thinking around what is critical and what is a nice to have, and then ensuring that the platform, the chosen platform, can really support and partner with you on building this out is going to be really important. And so I think all of that means it's important to partner with a platform that not only seamlessly integrates with the bank's existing systems and digital infrastructure, but, you know, we have to think ahead as well. You know, I think it's always helpful for banks to think about building a lasting like infrastructure and tech stack that's going to scale with the bank's continued growth and evolving needs. So defining what's needed, evaluating the providers, and just, you know, an element of ensuring the platform is future-proof, that can really help banks accelerate their RON implementation and just offer those faster, more efficient services to their consumers.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And, you know, as someone who used to work with loan closings pretty frequently, I would have loved to have something like this back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this has been such an interesting topic. Thank you so much for all of the great points that you've shared with us today. I can definitely see how this is going to evolve and become such a great asset for banks that, you know, work on implementing this.
Yeah, well, thank you again for having me, Laura. It's been great to chat with you.
Yes, thanks again for taking the time to chat with us today. It's really been a pleasure. And for the rest of our listeners, thanks for joining us. And that's Banking Matters.